But the Lord wants us to, He wants us to finish, and He wants us to finish strong. Amen? That's why Paul was able to say, I fought a good fight. I've done what? I've finished the course, and I've kept the faith. Finishing the course is important. Don't give up. Don't stop before you cross the finish line. And folks, the finish line is when we get to be with Jesus. Amen? And that's what I'm looking forward to. Looking forward to that day. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, you know that this is the faith chapter, they call it, or the halls or the heroes of faith here that are mentioned. And even though I will mention a little bit about faith this morning, the message is not on the subject of faith, even though we need more faith. Amen? How many of you need more faith today? We all do. We all need more faith. Our faith, the Bible said, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We need faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So hopefully our faith will be increased today by hearing and heeding the good Word of God. Stand with me this morning as we honor God's Word. And we'll begin in verse number 23, Hebrews 11, verse 23. The Bible describes here, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Now, I'd like to bring our attention back to verse number 27. And the Bible says there in the latter part, seeing him who is invisible. I'd like to bring a message this morning entitled, Our Need to See God. Our need to see God. I don't know about you, but I need to see God. I need to see him. We're living in desperate times. I need to see him today. You need to see him. This world, our families, this country. Oh, how they need to see God. Let's think on that thought this morning. Our need to see God. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Bless now the message. Give me the words to say, Lord, this is not, Lord, this is for us. We need this morning. We need it desperately. So, Lord, bless it, we pray, and use it in our lives to draw us closer to you, to save that one that may be nearest hell today, to encourage that one that is downtrodden and beaten down and living in the pits and in the midst of despair. Lord, lift us up through this. May this be a challenge and an encouragement to us all. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our need to see God. This illustration here is speaking of Moses. Of course, we know the life of Moses and how the Bible describes there he being born, and at that period of time that the children there, all the male children, were to be killed. And rather than to be killed, Moses' parents hid him that he would not be killed. God had a plan for Moses' life. I'm thankful for that. I heard a preacher say one time that all the crocodiles in the Nile River couldn't have eaten Moses. Amen. Why? Because he was protected by God. I'm glad today that we are protected by God. There's nothing that can touch us, nothing that can harm us that God does not allow. Amen? If it happens, it's because God allowed it. Look at the life of Job. God would not allow Satan to touch Job unless God permitted it. Amen? Sometimes God permits certain things in our life. He may permit a thorn in the flesh like he did for the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Or he may permit great tragedy in our life like he did in Job's life. But God has a purpose and a plan for everything, just like he did for Moses in his life. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses, after coming through great trouble and everything, Moses wanted to see God. You remember the story there? Exodus chapter 32, we find Moses came off of the mountain after meeting with God and getting the commandments of God. And he comes back. As he's coming off of the mountain, the Bible said that he hears the noise of war in the camp. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of noise of war in the camp today. Folks, there's a lot of no good that's going on in the world today. There's a lot of no good that's going on in our churches today, just as it was when Moses came off of the mountain. And he found them what? Worshiping a golden image. I'm going to tell you, it infuriated him. He threw down the tables of God and broke them there. But after that, and we know that there were a number of people that died as a result of that idolatrous happening that took place there. But Exodus chapter 33, Moses was needing to see God. And he desired to see the Lord, but God told him, said, "You can't look on me face to face." I heard Dr. Harold Seitler say back many years ago in describing this, he said, if any of us in our humanity, if we looked into the face of God, he said, we'd be burned up like a cinder. That was his words. We couldn't do it. In our natural being, you and I, in our sinful state, we cannot look into the face of God and live because of the glory and the majesty of God. But we find there that God said that he would not allow him to see him face to face. So what did he do? The Bible said that he sheltered him in the cleft of the rock. That's where we get the old hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let him hide thyself in thee." And so he shielded him. And as God passed by, Moses was able to see the hinder part or the back part of God as he passed by. This was just one of the many illustrations that we find in the life of Moses when he wanted to see God. Turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter 3. I believe today's going to be a great Bible lesson and a great sermon, and I believe it'll be helpful for us if we'll heed and listen to what God has to say. Now, I had all intentions of preaching this tonight, but God told me this morning. You say, God talked to you this morning? He did. And I talked to him. If he didn't talk to you, there's something wrong. And if you didn't talk to him, there's something worse wrong in your life. I talked to God this morning. God talked to me and he said, "Listen, this is what I want you to preach this morning." And so I reversed it. So I'm preaching this morning what I had intended on preaching tonight. You say, "What are you going to preach tonight?" It'll be something else. It's not what I was intending on preaching this morning. So God's just kind of stirred things up a little bit, turned things up. But that's when it really gets good, is when God gets in control of it. Amen? That's when we really look for those good things. But in Exodus chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse number 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law." This was after he had already forsaken Egypt and all the treasures of Egypt. He had spent 40 years on the backside of the desert caring and tending for his father-in-law's sheep. Now you remember the life of Moses were in increments of 40 years. The first 40 years he spent in Egypt. What did he do? I heard preacher say one time, he said he was learning to be a somebody those first 40 years. The second 40 years on the backside of the desert tending to his father-in-law's sheep, he was learning to be a nobody. In other words, God was humbling him. Brother Sean brought out some good thoughts about that, about how we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt us. And so God was humbling him. God was preparing for him. And then the last 40 years of Moses' life, it was used in the service of God, delivering the children of Israel out of the house of bondage and doing a great and a mighty work for God. But here we find that Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. This is the burning bush experience. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, if we saw that going on today, we'd think something was wrong, would we not? And Moses said, notice what he said. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Now remember the angel of the Lord, that terminology. We know from teaching and learning that anytime the angel of the Lord is mentioned, it's actually referring to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Second part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son. Then, of course, the third part of the Trinity is God the Holy Ghost. And so we find there the angel of the Lord. And so we find there that he, out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold the bush. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, who was it that called out? God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. When Moses looked at the burning bush, who was he looking at? Who did he see? He saw God. The Bible said that God is what? A consuming fire. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so we see there, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. Verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is what? Holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to do what? To look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. We go on to here, and we know what happened. God was calling Moses to be the deliverer of Israel, to deliver them from the house of bondage. God was calling them. Of course, we know other things that transpired. But I want you to see here that his need to see God. Moses was going through something in his life here where he needed to see God. He needed to see the presence of Almighty God in his life. There are things that transpires in your life and in my life where we need a vision of God. We need to see God. And that's one of the great things that God does. God allows us to see Him. Now, I'm not a charismatic this morning. I'm not talking about, hey, I saw God. You know what I'm talking about. The Bible said in the book of John, and also in the book of 1 John, that no man has seen God at any time. You get that? No man has seen God at any time. Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God gives us the ability to see Him. Depending on, let me say, how important is this of the ability to be able to see God? Let me say our hope depends upon our ability to see Him. The reason that we are living in a hopeless world today and we're facing hopelessness all around is because people cannot see God. Moses was in a situation right here. Hopelessly and helplessly needed something. Needed a touch, needed a move of God, needed a vision to be able to see God. And God revealed Himself in that burning bush. We at times need that same burning bush experience. Does that mean that we're going to go out there and build a fire and a bonfire and we're going to see God in it? Not necessarily. But there may be something that God shows us out of that fire that we build out on the back 40 or wherever else. God has a purpose and a plan for everything. Let me say, our strength depends upon our ability to see God. We all need strength, but it depends upon our ability to see God. Our faith, and we need faith, depends upon our ability to see God. Our courage, our boldness, our endurance in troubled times depends upon our ability to see God. Our virtue, our moral excellence and uprightness depends upon our ability to see God. Our temperance, our self-control, our joy, every aspect of the Christian life depends upon our ability to see God. I think you need to underline those words there as we are challenged by God's Word. That we see Him who is what? Invisible. The word invisible simply means that you can't see it. Well, how can we see something that we're not supposed to see? That's what I'm going to share with you today. I'm going to share with you how we can see an invisible God. God gives you and me the ability to see Him. How does He do that? He gives us the ability to see Him, number one, through the power of creation. Through the power of creation. Now the Bible reminds us this in the book of Psalms chapter 19 in verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Go outside and tell me there's not a God. When you look up into the universe and you see the stars, and you see the sun and the moon, what is that telling you? That's telling you that there is a creator out there, and that is God. It didn't just happen. Now, some people say, "Do you believe in the Big Boom theory?" And I'll tell you, yes, I do, but in a different way. I believe in Genesis 1:1. The Bible said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." God said, and boom, it happened. That's the way I believe it. Now, I don't believe that over a period of billions and billions of years that things evolved, that that mankind started as a tadpole and worked his way through a frog and worked his way through a monkey, and then we wound up creatures. No, I don't believe that. So I heard Brother Dale Butler say one time, "My ancestors may have swung by their neck, but they did not swing by their tails." Thank God for that. I believe in biblical creation. By the way, biblical creation is foundational to every other area of faith that you and I have. If you cannot believe that God created everything in six literal days, and on the seventh day He rested, folks, you don't have the faith to believe to be saved. It's foundational. It's foundational to believe the Bible. If you cannot believe Genesis 1:1, you can't believe John 3:16. I'm just telling you the way it is. God reveals Himself, and today you and I have the ability to see God through the power of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Think about this. There was a song written many years ago, and it talked about He is the wind beneath my wings. How many of you remember that song? He is the wind beneath my wings. Do you realize today that that is not the truth? He is not the wind. But I see him in the wind. He is not a tree out there, but I see him in a tree. He's not a flower, but I can see him in the flowers. He's not the grass, but I can see him in the grass. He's not the waves of the sea, but I can see him in the waves of the sea. He is not that intimate object. He is somebody. And he is seen in everything of creation because he created all things. The Bible said all things were created by him and for him. And for what? For his good pleasure. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter number 1. I'm liking this already, aren't y'all? Man, I'm going to tell you, you should have been with me while I was preparing this message. Me and God was having a good time. God allows us to see him as invisible through the power of creation. Romans chapter 1. Got another message that God hadn't allowed me to preach yet. I'm going to preach here one of these days when he opens up the door and says, go with it. About removing God from society. How do you do that? Well, Romans chapter 1 tells you that, but that's not what I'm going right now. I want you to see that God allows us to see him through the power of creation. Romans chapter 1 verse 18, for the wrath of who? God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, God's going to have the final say. I like that, don't you? Now verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath done what? Has showed it unto them. For what? For the invisible things. What is God? God is the invisible God. What did the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27? That Moses saw him as what? As invisible. For the invisible things of him from the what? Creation of the world or what? Are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Mankind will stand before God one day without excuse. Why? Because even in nature and even in creation, God reveals himself and man can see God in creation. Look out there. What did we read in Psalms? The heavens do what? When we look up into the heavens, the universe, the planets, the stars, the sun, the moon, the heavens do what? They declare the glory of God, that God exists. Folks, it didn't just happen. There was a plan in place, a divine plan, and that plan was the plan of God. And the firmament showeth his handiworks. Let me say, God allows us to see him through the power of creation. Second of all, we see that we see him that is invisible through personal faith we have in him. Through personal faith we have in him. Now, as we said, the Bible said no man has seen God at any time. But yet through the eye of faith I have seen him. That's just like Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9, but we see Jesus. I've never seen Jesus with a naked eye or this right here, but I've seen him through the eye of faith. Now what the Bible said in Hebrews, go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Go with me to chapter number 1 of Hebrews. Or no, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. I'll get it here in a minute. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of what? Things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report through faith. We understand that the worlds were what? Were framed by the Word of God. God spoke it and it came into existence. You say, preacher, how do you know God created the heaven and the earth? The power of creation. How do we know that? I know it by faith. Because I believe God. I believe what God says. I believe God's Word. I don't take the word of mankind. I don't take the word of the educator. I don't take the word of the historian. I take God's Word for granted. I take God's Word literally. That's why I believe in six literal days of creation. And not as the gap theory may teach. But he said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now verse number 6. But without what? Faith. It is impossible. It is impossible to please him. Who is that? God. For he that cometh to who? God must do what? Must believe that he is. That he exists. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do you know God exists? I can look at the power of creation and know that God exists. Because I see God in creation. I see God's handiwork, his majesty, in every limb, in every bush, in every individual. I'm going to tell you, when you go to the hospital and you hold a newborn babe in your hand, you've got to say, hey, there is a God. There's nothing more miraculous than birth. But yet people are out there wanting to destroy that and say that, hey, all this is a blob. That's why the abortionists can go in there and slaughter and murder these unborn babies without any fear or without any trouble of heart or mind because of it, because they think that they're not human. God allows us to see him through the power of creation and through personal faith in him. You remember Thomas? Unfortunately, we're like Thomas in a lot of regards. Because Thomas said, unless I do what? Unless I see it, I'm not going to believe it. Folks, I'm going to tell you that I have never seen God with these eyes right here. Never. He hadn't appeared to me in a dream or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen him in the power of creation. And I've seen him in personal faith in him. I've seen him as Moses did, as one that was invisible. I saw him. Thirdly, God allows us, gives us the ability to see him through the pages of the Bible. You know who this book is about? This book is about God. What do we call this book right here? Whose holy word? Say it. God's holy word. God's holy word, not man's holy word, even though man has tried to do what? Just as Romans chapter 1 said, they changed the what? The truth of God into a what? A lie, and worshiped and served what? The creature more than the Creator who is blessed forevermore. It's God's holy word. If I want to see God, I turn to the pages of the book of Genesis. If I want to see him, I'll look in the book of Exodus. I'll go to Leviticus, to Numbers, to Deuteronomy, to Joshua, Judges, to Ruth. And so on and so forth. All 66 books are about one individual, and it's about God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of private interpretation. For this prophecy came not in old times by the will of men, but holy men of God did what they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, which, by the way, is God. Divine inspiration. That's why Paul wrote in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by what? By inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It's God-motivated. You want to see God, you turn to the pages of the Bible and you will find and you will see God. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, every word of what is pure? Every word of God is pure. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of my God shall stand forever. John 1, 1, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was what? Was God. That's why I'm saying today that you want to see God like Moses did? Go outside, look at the power of God's creation. Look through the eyes of personal faith in God. Turn to the pages of the Bible and you will see God clearly and more clearly than you have ever seen Him before. Fourthly, God allows us and gives us the ability to see Him through the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the person of Jesus Christ. And John chapter 1, verse 1, as I quoted, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of John 1 says, and what the Word was what? Made flesh. This is the incarnation. And the Word was made flesh and did what? Dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 14, turn with me there. John chapter number 14. Beginning in verse number 7. These are the words of Jesus. How many of you have a red letter edition? How many of you believe only the red letters is Jesus' word? I'll get you right there. The whole book is Jesus' word, is God's word. But Jesus did say this in verse 7, by the way, if you've got a red letter edition. He says, if ye had known me, ye should have what? Known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have what? Seen him. You've seen him before. That's what Jesus was telling you. You want to see the Father? You've seen him. Now verse number 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. In other words, let us see God and we'll be satisfied. That's what he was saying. Philip was supposed to be a man of faith. He said, you let us see God, the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Now look at this next statement. He that hath seen me hath what? Has seen the Father, and how sayest thou, then show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you don't believe me for what I'm telling you, look what I'm able to do. By the way, what did Jesus do? He bore all the moral and the natural attributes of God. In other words, that Jesus, in his earthly form, was 100% God. He was co-equal, he was co-existent, and he was co-eternal with God, 100% God in the flesh. He was omnipresent, which means that he was everywhere. He was omniscient, he was all-knowing. He was omnipotent, all-powerful. He was immutable, never changing. That's Jesus. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father, for I and my Father are what? One. Folks, God allows us to see him through the person of Jesus Christ. Fifthly, we have the ability to see God through the plan of salvation. I like that, don't you? The plan of salvation. You remember what the prophet Isaiah said in about chapter 45, I believe it is. When the Lord was declaring, he says, I am the Lord, and besides me there is what? There is no Savior. Folks, without, get this, without a Savior, there can be no redemption. Without the Savior, there can be no salvation. And God is declaring himself as the one and only Savior of mankind. Salvation. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, turn with me there, about verse 28, I believe it is. Acts chapter 20, listen to these words right here. We're talking about seeing God in the plan of salvation. Acts 20, verse 28. He says, take heed thereunto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. He said, to feed the church of God, now get this, which he, who is that? Who are we still talking about? We're talking about God. Which he hath purchased with what? With his own blood. Glory to God. You and I have the privilege and the ability of seeing God in his own plan of salvation. John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. For God so what? Loved the world. That he did what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did what? He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. This is the plan of redemption. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we, that you and me, might receive what? The adoption of sons. God allows us to see him through the great plan of salvation. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, that's Jehovah God, the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus Christ, the second part of the Trinity, who is 100% God, hath laid on him what? The iniquity of us all. He bore our sins and our transgressions and bled on the cross for you and me. That's God's plan. God's plan of redemption, God's plan of salvation, and through that we see God. Verse 53, or chapter 53, he also says, yet it please God, or please the Lord to do what? To bruise him. Because when God the Father saw the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when the Bible said there in verse 50, chapter 53, when he saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. Amen. That's redemptive plan, folks. We see God all over it, don't we? Every time we see a person saved, every time we hear God's salvation plan, we see God. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth what the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful tonight, or this morning, that we have the ability to see God through the power of creation, through personal faith in him, through the pages of the Bible, and through the person of Jesus Christ, through the plan of salvation. But sixthly, we see God through personal circumstances in our lives. Through personal circumstances in our life. We go back to the life of Moses. Moses saw God in the personal happenings of his everyday life. God, he saw God in the burning bush. He saw God in the 10 plagues in Egypt, when God told Moses to go into Egypt and declare to Pharaoh to let my people go. Folks, when the water of Egypt ran red with blood because of the plague, Moses saw God in it. When the lice and the flies devoured Egypt and filled the land of Egypt, folks, Moses saw God. When it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, Moses saw God. When Pharaoh said, I want to spend one more night with those frogs, Moses saw God in the frogs. I'm not saying God is a frog. Some of you tell you that. Just like a lot of folks in India say, that cow out there, that's some of my ancestors, that's a god. That's not God. We can see him in it, but they're not a god. In every happening in the life of Moses, he saw God. And the sacrificial lamb, that night that the death angel made his way from house to house, Moses saw God in the sacrificial lamb. He saw God in the blood that was shed there and was placed on the post and the lintels of the door. Moses saw God in their deliverance at the Red Sea. When he said, stand still and see what? The salvation of the Lord. Moses saw God on Mount Sinai when God gave him the very written word of God. Moses saw God in the wilderness as God provided and protected those millions of Jews for 40 years. In every circumstance, Moses saw God. Do you see God in your circumstances today? When you lose a job, do you see God in it? When you get a raise, do you see God in it? Oh yeah, preacher, I see God in it when I get that raise. You see God when you lose everything, when you get sick? Or you get that bad news? Do you see God in it? In every circumstance in life, we can see God as the one that is invisible through those circumstances. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Every circumstance in life that we have, everything that happens, that's why as Christians we can say, in Romans 8:28, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. That's why in some of the most difficulties of life, circumstances that we may face, that's why we can say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. It's because of that. We can see God in our personal circumstances. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, the Bible says, for in Him we live and breathe and have our being. Folks, do you realize that every heartbeat, every breath we take, God is in it. I can see God. One of these days, God's going to say, that heart's going to stop. It's going to be God that does it, nobody else. Just like when they said, no man took, Jesus said, no man took my life. I have the power to let down, I have the power to take it up. God has the same power for you and me. That's why the Bible said, as it is appointed unto men, once to die. Every one of us have an appointment. And you and I can't change that appointment. Why? Because it's in the hands of a God that I see as one who is invisible. Isn't that good? I like it, don't you? John 15 says, for without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. We're getting close to the end, folks. Number 7, God allows us to see Him in the people He calls His own. In the people He calls His own. You know, Ron Hamilton wrote a song many years ago. I don't have it here handy with me. But the song was, I Saw Jesus in You. Great song, isn't it? I think he was writing that about his father, that he saw Jesus in his father. He saw that representative of a Christian, what a Christian ought to be, what one that lives godly ought to be. Let me ask you today, does the world out there see God in you? I didn't say, do they see you as a God? Because we don't become God. There's a lot of people out there that think that they do, but they don't. We don't. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. But I'm going to tell you, we're representatives of God as His people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous night light. Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God allows us to see Him through His people. Through His people, through you and me. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify the Father which is in heaven. You've heard me say this before, without any irreverence or blasphemy whatsoever, the only Jesus this world will ever see this side of eternity is you and me. Did you get that? What kind of impression are we leaving to those out there that we're around, to our family, to our co-workers, to our next door neighbors, our relatives, to our friends, to our enemies? You are the only Jesus. I'm the only Jesus that this world is ever going to see on this side of eternity. One day they'll see Him. They'll catch a glimpse of Him, especially those that have rejected Him. They'll catch a glimpse of Him before they eternally doomed and damned in hell in the lake of fire, as Revelation chapter 20 tells us. Folks, God can be seen in the people He calls His own. Last but not least, He can be seen in the promises made to mankind. The promises made to mankind. 2 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ according to His divine power. hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises. Who gave us these promises? God did. How did he do it? In his word. Every promise of that God makes, according to the book 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe it is, about verse 20. He said, every promise of God is yea. In other words, when God makes promise, he's going to do it. He's going to fulfill it. It's a guarantee. That's why the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God can be seen in the promises that he made. That's why Abraham was able to say this, that he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to who? Giving glory unto God. And that knowing that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. I like that, don't you? I like it. Moses said here in our text, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. What enabled him to endure? Folks, you and I need to endure. We endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We endure the things that are going on today. Just be patient. We've got to get across the finish line. Don't give up. Don't quit. What did Moses do? He endured. And how did he endure? As seeing him who is invisible. Seeing God. Folks, our hope depends on our ability to see God. I hope today you've been able to catch a glimpse of what God is talking about, what Moses was sharing with you about seeing him who is invisible. For we see God through the power of creation. We see God through the personal faith that we have in him, through the pages of the Bible. We see God through the person of Jesus Christ, through the plan of salvation, through our personal circumstances in life, for the people that God called his, and from the promises he made to all mankind. I'm glad today that I can say, I've seen God. It'll change your life. You remember when Moses came off of the mountain? He had a different appearance about him, did he not? You know why? Because he saw God. He had been with God. He had been up there communing with God. I'm going to tell you, there's something about seeing God that transforms your life. It'll give you a different look. It'll give you a different attitude. It'll transform your life. That's why I'm saying today that you and I need to see God. We need to be able to see him, and this is how we see him today. You remember the prophet Isaiah? In the year that King Uzziah died, what did he say? He said, I saw the Lord. I saw God. I saw him high and lifted up. And what happened? It transformed his life. That's what you and I need today. We need to be able to see God. And even the circumstances of life, we need to see him, good or bad, because he's there. I'm thankful that we can see him who is invisible. The world can't see him, folks, but you and I can. I'm thankful for that. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we thank you and love you for your word today. What a joy it was to be able to share this message that you've laid upon my heart. I pray it's been a help, courage to all. Lord, it encouraged and helped me. Well, I could preach it over and over again. It's not my message, it's yours. I'm not going to take credit for anything. If anything's done, Lord, we're going to praise you for it. We're going to glorify you. I am nothing but a vessel. I'm an empty vessel that is no good without being filled of you. But Father, I praise you for what's been done and what will continue to be done. Father, if there's someone here today that needs to see you, I pray that today through the message that they've been able to look and find ways of being able to look and see you out there in every circumstances and walk of life. Bless this invitation. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.